This is a short chapter, so let's take the time just to read these verses together, please. Hosea chapter 14, and the text is verse 5, but let's read the rest of the verses as well. So, Hosea and chapter 14. But before we read the word of God, let us ask for the Lord to help us. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority over every spirit that would seek to hinder this meeting. Lord, in the name of Christ, we would pray against every spirit that would come against this meeting. Father, we just ask, O Lord, that thou wilt undertake for us now as we gather around thy word. O God, how we thank thee for the third person of the Trinity. Lord, how we praise thee for the blessed Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask for his help. Oh, how dependent upon him we are. Lord, everything that is good and positive and holy and profitable comes from him. So we just ask, O Lord, that he might hover over us today, that he might, as it were, brood over us as we gather around the word of God. And I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, and he undertakes for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hosea chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine, the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. And we know that the Lord shall bless the public reading of his word. When I was coming out of the house this morning, I did a rather unusual thing. This is not something that I do every Sunday morning, but I decided that I would reach down to the grass on our front lawn and check to see if the dew was there. And sure it was. As I reached down my hand, there it was. You could feel the dew on the grass. And that's what I want us to think about today, because we're thinking at the present time on a Sunday morning about the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday we looked at the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures as he is likened to a dove. And you remember last week how we spoke about the fact that doves were sacrificial animals, and doves were harmless animals. And we looked at other aspects of doves, and we looked at the dove that Noah sent out from the ark. But today, let's come to this other symbol of the Holy Spirit, the dew. He's likened to the dew. The text for the message, as we've already said, is verse 5 of Hosea 14. I will be as the dew unto Israel. This is the Lord speaking. Whenever verse 5 says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, this is, in fact, the Lord himself. This is Jehovah who is speaking to his people. And Jehovah says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. So we're perfectly entitled today to say and to teach that the dew is a symbol of the Lord himself. Some preachers, quite correctly, have preached upon this passage and said that the dew is a symbol of Christ. And that's perfectly correct. And we could preach a blessed and a very interesting sermon and looking at Christ as the dew. But you know, we can also apply the dew to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to do today. I want us, first of all, to recognize where the dew comes from. Where does the dew come from? Well, of course, the dew comes down from above. If you read the book of Genesis, the book of Daniel, and a number of other books throughout Scripture, you will find a phrase that is repeated. And it's this phrase, the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven. And that's, of course, where dew comes from. Dew comes from heaven above us. It comes down from above and it settles upon the ground. And surely that's a picture of the Holy Spirit, is it not? For he is the one who comes down from above. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Acts 2 and verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The Holy Spirit is like the dew in that he descends from above, he comes down. You see, Job in chapter 38 and verse 28 asked the question, who hath begotten the drops of dew? Who hath begotten the drops of dew? And the answer is that the Lord is the one who has begotten the drops of dew. That dew that I saw on my front lawn this morning, and no doubt the dew that was on your lawn as well, or the fields around your home. That dew came down from above. And it's like the Holy Spirit of God who came down from above. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God descended and fell upon those early believers like dew. So that's where the dew comes from. The dew comes down from above. But then I want you to notice when the dew comes. When does the dew come? The dew comes when it's dark, isn't that right? During the darkness, in the darkness, the dew descends. Child of God, I wonder, are you in a dark valley at the present time? I wonder, is there anyone in the meeting this morning? Is there a child of God who is in the darkness, as it were? Do you know, very often when you're in the darkness and when the trials of life come upon you, it's then that the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. It's then that the dew of heaven is resting upon you and settling upon you and preparing you for a future work, for the work that the Lord has for you to do. Oh, whenever we're going through the trials of life, and whenever the heartaches come and the discouragements come and we don't know where to turn, very often it's then that the Holy Spirit is hovering over us. It's then that the Holy Spirit is molding us and working upon us and making us into something that resembles Christ. Oh, that's when the dew comes, when it's dark, in the darkness, whenever we're asleep, we go to our beds at night, and darkness falls. And little do we realize that there's a wonderful process taking place during the hours of darkness while we sleep. Dew is coming down from above and it's settling on the earth. And you know, that's a lovely picture of revival as well, isn't it? Ah, is it not, whenever things are darkest, that the dew of heaven comes down? Is it not, whenever things are bleakest, that the Holy Ghost descends in His reviving power upon the Church of Christ? We're living in a dark day. You don't need me to tell you that. We're living in a dark day for the evangelical church in Ulster. We're living in a dark day as far as our nation is concerned. Whenever we see so much wickedness on every side, and evil is called good and good is called evil. But when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He comes in the darkness. If you're discouraged today, Christian, if you're cast down because of the trials of life, you've no need to be, because while you're going through the trials, the Holy Spirit is at work. Psalm 139 verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. How many times discouraged, we sink beside the way. About us all is darkness. We hardly dare to pray. Then from the mists and shadows, the sweetest voice e'er known says, child, am I not with thee? Never to leave thee alone. Take courage, pilgrim. Though mists and shadows hide the face of him thou lovest, he's ever at thy side. Reach out thy hand and find him. And lo, the clouds have flown. He smiles on thee who promised never to leave thee alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. We're never alone, you know, those of us here saved. Never, ever alone. We might often feel as if we're alone. And mind you, there's many a time when we do feel like that, isn't it? As the children of God, there are many occasions when it seems and it feels for all the world that the Lord has left us alone. But we're not alone. Thank God we're never alone. But I want you to think about something else about the Jew. Consider this. Whenever the Jew falls, it falls silently. Whenever the Jew comes, it comes silently. Oh, surely that's a sweet picture of the work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God works silently. Behind the scenes, whenever no one even realizes that he is at work, ah, there he is, silently at work all the while. The one who never tires, the one who never wearies, is continuously at work, silently at work. We can't see him at work, but he is at work. You know, so often we as the Lord's people, don't we pray, Lord, let us see your hand made bare. Lord, let us see you at work. Lord, we want to see you at work. We want to see your power displayed. Lord, we want to see your workings in our church. But you know, very often the Lord doesn't allow us to see his workings. That's the interesting thing. Very often the Lord hides his workings from our view. And some of his greatest works are done silently behind the scenes. Was it not on Calvary, whenever Christ was bleeding and dying, that darkness descended, and in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the silence of the cross for those 3 hours, was it not that God was at work? Was it not that the Spirit of God was at work? Because the book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Very often the Spirit is at work in the silence. That's why I don't particularly like noisy churches. God's blessed Spirit doesn't get a chance to work. There's so much of a racket, so much of a din. But then, of course, you get these people who say, oh, well, that church is far too quiet. That church is dead. Well, let them call it dead. Let them say that it's too quiet. I'd far rather be in a quiet church where the Spirit of God is at work than in a church where there's a noisy racket. But the Spirit of God isn't in the midst. The Spirit of God has departed long ago. Ichabod's written over the church that glory has departed. He works in the silence, you know. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you would turn to that portion for a moment or two. 1 Kings 19. We'll read from verse 9. We read here of Elijah. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. and after the wind and earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? The still small voice. That voice that Elijah heard after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, do you know whose voice that was? That was the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, from reading this passage, it seems that it was an audible voice. It was a voice that Elijah could actually hear. Today, we have the Bible. We don't need to hear audible voices from God. We have His Word. And that's how He speaks to us. But back in Elijah's day, of course, Elijah didn't have the Bible. And so he hears this audible voice, but it's a tender, gentle, silent. It's a voice that is so warm and comforting. This is not a loud voice. This is not a frightening voice. Oh, this is the sweet voice of the Spirit. The one who works so silently and so graciously. The Lord isn't in the racket, you know. Oh, the Lord is the one who speaks with the still, small voice. There is no voice like the voice of Jesus. Tender and sweet its chime, like musical ring of a flowing spring in the bright summer time. The Holy Spirit is the one who works silently, silently. Friend, today, if you think that the Holy Spirit, whenever He works, makes a great big fuss and a great big hullabaloo, and there's flashing lights and there's thunder and there's angels all around, you've got the wrong end of the stick. You've misunderstood the work of the Spirit of God. You see, He's like the dew. He's the one who descends so graciously, so silently, and He comes down like the dew. The silence of the dew. But then I want us to finish today with the effects or the benefits of the dew. Dew brings about fruitfulness and fertility. And particularly in eastern lands, and particularly in the land of Israel, dew is of infinite value to the people there. The people in Israel don't have the rainfall that we have. The people in those eastern lands very often go through large portions of the year without any rain. And the climate is dry and it's barren and it's arid. And the dew is so precious. And the dew has great benefits. You know, the Holy Spirit brings great benefits to us. We don't have time to go into all the benefits that He brings, but let me point you in the direction of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians 5 verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And I want to finish with a verse from the book of Genesis. Genesis 41 and verse 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Here was Joseph, a man who had went through so much, a man who had suffered greatly, and yet whenever his wife gave birth to their second child, Joseph was able to call their second child Ephraim, because God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And you know, dear friend, child of God, it's the same for us today. Even when we're going through affliction, the Lord can cause us to be fruitful. Joseph was enabled to be fruitful in the land of Egypt because the Spirit of God was upon him. The dew of heaven had rested upon him. And dear friends, whenever the dew of heaven rests upon us, we too will be fruitful, even in the land of affliction. Even when life almost overwhelms us, and when all of the billows of life go over us, still it is possible for the child of God to be fruitful. It is possible for us to conquer. But it's only when the Spirit of God rests upon us. It's only when we are filled with the Spirit. And remember what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And that teaches me that being filled with the Spirit isn't something that automatically happens to us as Christians. We need to pray for it. We need to go to our homes today and cry to the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I can display the fruit of the Spirit. So that I can be like Joseph as he sat in the prison cell in Egypt. Lord, help me to be like Joseph, the one who was fruitful even in his affliction. And Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Let the dew of heaven rest upon my soul, Lord, so that I will be fruitful. So that in my life, love will be found. So that in my life, joy will be found. So that in my life, peace will be found. So that in my life, long suffering will be found. So that in my life, gentleness will be found. So that in my life, goodness will be found. So that in my life, faith will be found. So that in my life, meekness will be found. So that in my life, temperance will be found. And if you'll go to your home today, or even before you get to your home, even as we close this service today, if you'll cry out, Lord, I'm saved, I know that. Christ has paid my debt on Calvary. But Lord, I'm not yet filled with the Spirit, but I want to be. Lord, I want the dew of heaven to rest upon me. If you'll pray that prayer today, then the dew of heaven will come down upon your soul, and you shall be fruitful.